It is still humid. That's your weather report for the day. Tomorrow, it'll probably be the same or probably different. I have been asked a question several times in my life as a gospel preacher. People have asked me, typically denominational people have asked me, did God call you to preach? And, you know, you want to answer that question with a good answer, but that is such a loaded question. Did God call you to preach? Now, one fella said, did God call you to preach, or were you mama called and daddy sent? And by that, they meant mama said you need to preach and daddy paid your way to go to Bible college or something like that. But the implication is that you have no commitment to God, that you're just doing a job, as it were. And that obviously is kind of insulting, but the question I'm asking tonight is, are we called of God? Are we called by God? Now, this morning we talked about calling upon the name of the Lord. So it was a call coming from us to God, calling God to help us, to save us, and in effect submitting ourselves to Him to obey His commandments. Tonight I want to talk about God calling us. Now, some say that we in the Church of Christ do not believe in being called of God. Well, while it's true, we do not believe that there are going to be dreams, voices in our dreams at night. Now, we may hear voices, but that was probably roast turkey or some, you know, bad beef or something like that. We may have some strange dreams, but we do not believe that God speaks to us in our dreams like He did in the first century or in the days of the Old Testament. Nor do we believe that there are going to be visions or miracles or personal experiences that we can attribute to saying, hey, God is calling me to do this or that. I'm constantly amazed at the number of people in our world who will get on television and say, the Lord told me to tell you this or that. And that just amazes me, because God has given us His holy word. The Bible is finished. It is complete. It is the full message from God. There are no new revelations. There is nothing else that's coming from heaven that is going to be different than this message. And so people who make these statements, by implication it is they are called of God, but unless you have some personal experience, God is not really calling you. That's the message that they're trying to convey to us. We do have to understand that no one can be saved unless God calls him. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand this. No one can be saved unless God calls him. The word call is found 298 times in the King James Version of the New Testament in some form or another. 298 times. Over one-fourth of these refer to a calling that comes from God. So there's quite a few passages that talk about being called of God in one form or another. Now, some questions for us to consider tonight when we talk about being called of God or called by God. Does God call people? Let's let the Bible answer that. Acts 2, verse 36 through 39. We referred to this morning, but did not emphasize it. Let's look at this again. Acts 2, 36 through 39. Peter, in wrapping up his sermon, before these people interrupted him and said, what must we do? Peter, in wrapping up his sermon on the day of Pentecost, said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Does God call people? In Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Does God call people? 1 Corinthians 1:24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Does God call people? Absolutely, God calls people. He calls people. Now, you know, who does God call? How does He do it? Why does He call some and not others? We'll explore that a little bit. But we just need to establish the fact that God does call people. But how does He do it? All right. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 14 says, to which He called you by our gospel for the ordination of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you by our gospel. In John 6 verse 44, this is when Jesus is losing His popularity because He has told the people, you must eat My flesh and drink My blood. And that just didn't sit well with them. They've been taught all their lives, cannibalism is not allowed. You can't drink blood, and you certainly can't eat human flesh. That's not allowed. And Jesus is telling us, and but see, the problem is, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is speaking and teaching, He is talking about spiritual things. And when the people respond to Jesus' teaching, in every case in the Gospel of John, they're referring to physical, earthly things. So Jesus is talking about spiritual bread, spiritual blood, as it were. In other words, you're not going to eat physical human flesh or drink physical human blood. But Jesus is making an allusion to the day of the coming of the Lord's Supper. He's making an allusion to His sacrifice on the cross and to our memorial, our remembering that each Lord's Day. But they misunderstood. They thought He was taking this literally. And so many of them from that time were offended and walked no more with Jesus. They went back. Even though He'd performed the miracle and fed the thousands with the 5 loaves and fishes, even though He had crossed the sea walking on the water until He got to the boat and then they came ashore, even though all the things that Jesus had done that just amazed the people, yet because they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And many went back and walked no more with Him. They didn't like what He said. But in verse 44, the Jews are murmuring about Jesus. And He says in verse 43, murmur not among yourselves. Verse 44, no man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to Me except the Father draw him. Draw him to Me. You cannot come to Jesus unless God calls you. Now, does that sound like predestination? That when you first hear that, does that sound like God is being partial? That He says, okay, I'm going to call you, but I'm not going to call you, and I'm going to call you, but I'm not going to call you, and That's maybe what it sounds like, but that's not what's happening at all. There are those that will accept the gospel when they hear it, and there are those that will reject it. There are those that will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and there are those that will look for any other possible answer, but they will not accept the authority of Christ over their lives. God draws people to Jesus. How? Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God draws people to Him. He calls people by the gospel. It is the gospel itself that calls people to God. In Okinawa, Japan, 1945, World War II has ended. America is occupying this region of the world. They are building a base there in Okinawa for our servicemen. And this land is in ruins because of the war. There is just devastation. Villages have just been devastated all over that island. And there is a newsman named Clarence W. Hall, of all things, that was there following American troops throughout the countryside. And his Jeep driver and he came across a small town, and it stood out in total contrast to the other villages and towns across this island. Even though there had been damage, the rebuilding was phenomenally fast. And it was a beautiful example of a Christian community in this otherwise pagan island. Japan is Shinto and Buddhism combined form the basic religion of the Japanese people for as far back as you want to go. But as of the year 2000, 84% of the people of Japan declared that they had no religion at all. 84% of the people of Japan had turned their back on all religion. Japan has become a land of total materialism. Materialism is their god. That's just the way it is. Now, does this mean that there are no Christians in Japan? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean that we can't do mission work in Japan? No, it doesn't mean that. People can change, can't they? The power of God can change people, and people in Japan can be called to God if when they are exposed to the gospel, they will believe it, then God is calling them. Okay? But in this story, in 1945, this little community stood out in stark contrast to the devastation of the countryside around. And here's what Clarence Hall wrote in his column. We had seen other Okinawan villages down at the hills and despairing. By contrast, this one shone like a diamond in a dung heap. Everywhere we were greeted by smiles and dignified bows. Proudly, the old men showed us their spotless homes, their terraced fields, their storehouses and granaries, their prized sugar mill. Hall said that he saw no jails, no drunkenness. Divorce was unknown in this village. And he was told that some 30 years earlier, an American missionary had come there to this spot, to this village, and had done some work there. And while he was in the village, he had been able to lead two of the elderly townspeople to the Lord. Two people became Christians. He left them a Japanese Bible and spent enough time with them to teach them how to study, how to understand, and he moved on to another area. These new believers studied their Bible and led their fellow villagers to the Lord. Hall's Jeep driver remarked this. He said he was amazed at the difference between this village and the others around it, and he remarked, "So this is what comes out of only a Bible and a couple of old guys who wanted to live like Jesus." Isn't that cool? It's amazing when Christianity is there, when the effect it can have on a community. When you have God's people standing out doing the job of glorifying God and showing a different life, different attitudes, you've got something that stands out very brightly. A light shining on a hill. A city shining on a hill, you can't hide that. A light on a candle stand gives light to all that are around it. Okay? You can't hide that. We need to understand that that God calls people by His gospel, and that's what makes the difference. It is not because one group of people is smarter than another or one group of people is more attractive or desirable or that God chooses this group and rejects this group. That's not it at all. It is the power of God's Word. The gospel calls people. God's calling was demonstrated on the day of Pentecost, as we've already read, about 3,000 souls answered God's call. God calls everyone. Do you remember the verse we read this morning from Revelation 20? Revelation 21, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, whosoever will. God calls everyone. His calling is seen. He's called you, but do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Christians need to understand that God has called us, or we would not be here tonight. We would not have obeyed the gospel if God had not called us. He called Moses from a bush. He calls us from a book. There's no difference. There is no difference at all. He calls us from the pulpit, from the Sunday school class, from our personal Bible study, but all of that is from the book. Every bit of that is from His holy word. That's how God is calling us. So there's four things. I went to school at Hackleburg. Y'all remember that. There's four things that God is calling us to that describe the kind of calling this is. Philippians 3 says it's a high calling. Philippians 3:13 beginning, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a high calling. God calls us to step up on the higher ground. Roger Jackson was talking about that Wednesday night, wasn't he? That we need to step up on higher ground. God calls us to a higher vision of life, a higher standard, higher judgment. He calls us to higher attitudes. He calls us to higher living. Not higher as in that we're looking down our nose at everybody else. No, but a higher standard of living for ourselves. We hold ourselves to a stricter set of rules, a stricter set of guidelines. We hold ourselves accountable. And you know, one of the big mistakes that people make in this world is not holding themselves accountable, taking the easy way out, looking for the shortcuts, want to make a fast buck, and I'll do whatever I have to do to make it, and compromise my values, compromise my ethics, and that's going down, down, down. No, God calls us. It's the high calling of God. He calls us to a higher way of living. You cannot live a higher life than to live for the Lord. God also calls us to be holy. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, beginning, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God has called us to a holy calling. Our lives are to represent God because God placed His name upon us. We wear the name of God. Did you know that? God put His name on you. And if God puts His name on something, that becomes holy. That's why Mount Sinai is called the Holy Mountain. That's why Jerusalem is called the Holy City, because God put His name on it. That's why the Israelites were called God's holy nation. But then God called us a holy nation, didn't He? He calls his children today, his family, his kingdom, his body, his bride. He calls us a holy nation because God has put his name on us. And so we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard because we do serve the living God. It is also a heavenly calling. In Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. We are called to live like heaven-bound people. I'm bound for the promised land. Y'all remember that song? We are on our way. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We have a home up there above the bright blue, the beautiful blue. Heaven is waiting for me and for you. We have got something to look forward to, something great ahead of us. And so that, if we focus on that, keep our eyes on the prize, as it were, it'll help us to resist those daily drudgeries and the temptations to turn away from God or to become negligent or worse, rebellious and in rejecting the life that God has called us to live. It is a heavenly calling of God. There's an old denominational song, but it's a good song. I've never heard us sing it at church, but I've heard it from denominational groups. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Y'all have heard that song or heard of it? Beautiful song. It's talking about a loved one that passed away and they've gone on to be with God. And now, because that loved one has gone on, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. That was a beautiful sentiment. Well, brethren, we're heaven bound. God has called us to a heavenly calling. And then finally, He's called us to a hopeful calling. A hopeful calling. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you're called. What calling is that? With all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. A call of hope. We have something. We have something the world really wants, but many of them don't know what they want. But they want to live. Everybody wants to live. And if they know about heaven, they want to go there. We have that hope. And it's because God called us. And we called to God. See, that's the difference in a Christian and a non-Christian. Is God called us, and we called on the name of the Lord. We have reached out to Him. We have submitted ourselves in humble obedience to His commandments. God called us, and we have called out to Him. Colossians 1:23, if indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. God has called us to salvation. Salvation from sin. That's what we read in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. He's called us into His kingdom, into the kingdom of His dear Son. He has called us into that kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. We are called by God into His kingdom, into His family. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Christianity is, it's a paradox, okay? I mean, it's interesting, the contrasts, if you please, in Christianity. Listen to something that A.W. Tozer wrote many, many years ago. It says, a real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen. He talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see. He expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. He expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. He empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strongest when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passeth knowledge. Isn't that beautiful? Christians are different than the world. We have a different standard. We don't do things like other people. And it's not that we're better, but we have learned something from God. And we follow the will of God. We follow the commands of God. And so we live a different life. And we're held to a higher standard because we have accepted the name of God upon us. God calls us into eternal glory. He calls us to suffering, yes. He calls us to be ready to suffer, as 1 Peter 2:20 through 23 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Yes, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be heartache and pain. There's going to be tough times because we're Christians. But God has called us ultimately to eternal glory and reward. And it's worth hanging on to. 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God is going to take care of us. We have his word. We have his promise. God is calling you to him. If you're not a Christian, he is calling you to come to him. Let him give you life. If you are an erring Christian, if you're a prodigal, if you've wandered away from God, God is calling you back to himself. He does not want you to be lost. We need to answer God's call. We need to submit ourselves to him, obey his commands, call upon the name of the Lord ourselves, because God is calling us. If you're not a Christian, please obey the Lord while you have a chance. If you're already one of his people, but you're not faithful to him, come back to him while you can, before it's eternally too late. Life goes on. It goes by very, very fast. And then we're finished. We're finished. And we move on. This is why it's important that we live every day as though it's our last. Not depressed. Not all sad and down in the mouth. But hopeful. Trusting God. And sharing with as many as we can. Let us live that kind of a life. So is there anyone here tonight who needs salvation, who needs to make changes in your life so that you can be ready for that day when it comes? If you are, and you are in that need, we invite you and encourage you to come as we stand and sing.